Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to listen to the Roman Show,
the most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let the Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let the Roman Show begin.
MMA edition. As always, joining me, my co-host Guillermo Garcia on the line. Guillermo, we're back to MMA this weekend as the Ultimate Fighter finale takes place on television, on Spike to be exact, this Saturday. Excited to see Mayhem Miller versus Bisping. We just finished watching the Ultimate Fighter. Both of these guys were going at it face to face. And you and me, we were on the phone getting ready for the show. You were cracking up at what these guys were going through. But what can we expect in this main event, Guillermo, in your opinion?
Well, the main event this weekend, you mean, or the
That's
Ultimate
right.
Fighter finales? The
actual main event.
Well, the main event is going to be Bisping and Miller. And so that fight, both guys are, of course, respectable fighters. And they both are pretty well-rounded, like overall striking-wise on the ground. But I think Miller has a slight edge. It's a very competitive fight, very close. Miller has a slight edge just due to the competition he's faced. UFC, and Bisping's always been criticized for the competition that he's faced. The UFC, in order to keep up its number one English prospect, has put him up against, not-so-great competition. He's won against a lot of, not so greatly regarded guys, but whenever he does face like a big name, like a Wanderlei Silva or Dan Henderson, he's ended up losing those fights. So he hasn't had that big signature win yet. Miller, of course, has fought some of the best in the world. He fought GSP when GSP was just coming up in the UFC. He fought Jake Shields over in Strikeforce and nearly choked him out at the end of the third round. I think he's got a slight edge there. I think he's just mentally tougher than Bisping.
And what can you say about this season itself? I heard Dana White saying this is one of the most phenomenal seasons. What's your opinion on it?
Well, the reason that it turned out to be that way is pretty simple. The Ultimate Fighter for years now has been just having the same weight divisions over and over. The heavier weight classes like welterweight, middleweight, light heavyweight. They've exploited those divisions so much that the talent pool is made up lately of not so great fighters on the show. That's why a lot of these guys that end up winning the show don't end up doing so well in the UFC. Like, if you think about it, the only guys who've actually won a title that came from the Ultimate Fighter were from seasons 1 and 2, which were Forrest Griffin and Rashad Evans. And so nobody since then has been able to do it because, like I said, the guys that they've had to take for the show were not the best guys, unfortunately. But like this season, since it's got these new weight classes, which a lot of people haven't seen, these guys have been fighting in smaller promotions, and now they're going to get their chance to be on the show. And it's really shown because there's so much good talent outside the UFC, they were able to make a great show. It's not like they drained the talent pool like they did with the other weight divisions.
And tell me about the actual competition and the finale itself on both those divisions. Who really caught your eye this season and could really make a tidal wave in the UFC one day? Who do you think would you say that's the top?
Yeah, well, the two guys that stick out are the two guys that fought tonight. No disrespect to Dennis Bermudez and TJ Dillashaw, but John Dodson, he's fighting in the 135 division. And he's actually, a lot of people don't know it, one of the top-ranked 125-pound fighters in the world. He's trained at Greg Jackson's Academy for years, and he's got his 11-5 record. Don't be fooled by those five losses. A lot of them occurred earlier in his career and against guys who were, in bigger weight classes, because there wasn't always a 125-pound division back then. So Dodson, he comes from a great camp. He's got a lot of great natural talent, physical ability, and he's already making waves. And as you can tell, if you watch the show tonight, he's very, very confident in himself, almost to the point of cockiness. But, he backs it up. He's very, very good. He's got some of the best stand-up in the game. A lot of people have compared his creativity in the stand-up game to Anthony Pettis, who used that famous kick on Ben Henderson. Well, John Dodson has a crazy bunch of kicks that he tries out in the gym, and so we're probably going to see those pretty soon. The other one, Diego Brandão, the 145-pound division, who won tonight. He's just a killer, very aggressive, like Wanderlei Silva was back in the Pride days. Just comes out charging, puts on exciting fights, and, it gives the fans a show. The only thing with Brandão that we haven't really seen too much of his ground game, even though we do hear that he does have a great one since he's from Brazil. And plus, he's even admitted that his cardio is not that great. And if it were to go on very long or if he were to get grounded by a wrestler, he may have issues. But overall, he's a killer. He's aggressive. He's got amazing stand-up. And he's got a great chin from what I've seen. So he's got a lot of potential as well.
No doubt we can expect a nice card come this Saturday. And there's been a lot of talk considering now with the Ultimate Fighter moving to with the Fox and all this change up. They got Fuel TV is going to have a couple of shows and so much to expect come this year. We also saw the UFC makes its presence in Japan. And we're going to discuss this topic and so much more. But I want to let everyone know, here on the Roman Show, to tweet your questions. That we will have three guests here tonight on the show. Tweet your questions to @RomanDH or @Guillermo@Stoneface16. Tweet the questions, and we will read them out loud here and have the guests answer it. We have three guests tonight. One of them being starting off with Mike Real. Currently, his record is at 7-1. He is a Miami standout down here as a mixed martial artist. He has fought the best of the best. His only loss belongs to Efraín Escudero, a UFC veteran in which he lost to, but he avenged his loss by beating Zach Juzula in October. He beat him in 1 minute and 1 second. That was not too long ago. And Mike Rio will tell us about his upcoming tryout with the Ultimate Fighter. So he released the information on Facebook. He wasn't too specific, but you'll be able to listen to it tonight here. So ask questions. Go ahead. Call in 714-868-0222. And Guillermo, not only do we have Mike, we also have Bubba Jenkins call in. Bubba Jenkins will make his debut at Tachi Palace fight. Let me tell you about Bubba Jenkins. Bubba Jenkins is an amazing wrestler. The 23-year-old won last year's NCAA title at 157 pounds. He concluded a career at Penn State and Arizona State with a wrestling record of 94-24. That is an impressive record, including a 21-3 mark in his championship, the season of 2010 and 2011 season. So we're going to ask Jenkins about his debut come this Friday against Jason Williams, who happens to be another wrestler. He was a two-time state runner-up while wrestling at California's Clovis High School. He went on to wrestle collegiately at Iowa State. So these are two guys that wrestled at two top schools. And we've seen the transition from a lot of wrestlers into MMA. And a good point, Guillermo, we've seen this a lot. It seems that, I was in wrestling myself, and when you were in wrestling, the only other option after high school was to get a scholarship, and you had to go upstate. You had to go up north, Iowa's. Michigan, all these places. Down south, not too much. You know, Arizona has a great wrestling school. But after that, the only other thing is Olympic wrestling. That's all there pretty much is. But now, these wrestlers have ventured into the world of mixed martial arts. And we've seen this a lot. A lot of them actually being very successful. One being Brock Lesnar. So it's very important to have a guest like this who's making his debut. And most importantly, most of these guys have been taught wrestling all of their lives. And here they have to add another couple of more skills to be titled that mixed martial artist. What type of, is it that difficult to adjust to this and the training regime as you're used to training in a certain way as a wrestler? So we've seen this a lot, Guillermo, in this sport, and I think that we're going to see a lot more of this, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like you said, wrestlers, they didn't really have too many alternatives after university. I mean, back in the old days, they'd just have to go to the WWE or try for the Olympics or, you know, what have you. And MMA opened up a whole other world of options for them. And then it was almost immediate from the very first UFC, even, where you saw Dan Severn, who was a great wrestler, Mark Coleman, Don Fry, these great wrestlers who were able to make the transition. But the first step for any wrestler, which is most important, you know, they love to take it to the world, to the ground, but the first thing in MMA you got to worry about is you take it to the ground, submission. So
yep.
That's the first thing you got to worry about. Then the second one, what about if the guy you're fighting got great submission, takedown defense? Then you got to worry about stand-up, because you got to set up your takedowns with stand-up. Because it's not as, you know, when you have your first couple MMA fights, you might be able to get away with no stand-up, but once you start to move up in the world, there's going to be guys with better takedown defense, and you're going to have do something about it. So, first of all, submission defense. Second, important, is, you know, having a little bit of stand-up at least to take, you know, to help your takedowns. And then once you get more confidence with your stand-up, maybe you can even, if you fight the right guy, even stay standing up on purpose because you're better than him standing up. So it's an evolution. But the most important thing, especially for a guy like Jenkins in his first fight, is to watch out for the submission, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and most of these wrestlers, at first you'll notice, is that their strategy is always to take you down and ground and pound you.
Mm-hmm.
Most wrestlers don't develop the submission game until later on in their careers. And you see that a lot with Lesnar. You know, he didn't get his first submission until like his sixth or seventh fight. Cain Velasquez, to this day, still hasn't submitted anybody. You know,
mm-hmm.
So the submissions come later on, but the submission defense has to come first.
And by the way, throughout the show, we're going to be reading out some of the award winners of the 2011 World MMA Award Ceremony, which is taking place right now in Las Vegas. Let's read one of the winners: International Fighter of the Year. The winner is Alistair Overeem. The Gym of the Year, the winner is Blackhouse. The Referee of the Year is Herb Dean. The Comeback of the Year belongs to Chuck Congo. Best Technical Equipment belongs to Everlast. And so far, MMA Journalist of the Year belongs to Ariel Helwani. We're going to be reading more of these nominees as they come in here to the Roman Studio. And to all the guys holding in line, please stay on the line. We're going to have Mike Real, Bubba Jenkins, and also on the line, we're going to have Dennis the Menace Hernandez, who will be fighting at XFC this Friday, and that will air on HDNet. He has he's looking for another victory, as right now his current record stands at 3-3. He was actually on a 3 winning streak, defeating all of his opponents by submissions until he lost to Jim Allers not too long ago here in South Florida. So he now will fight this Friday against Nick Noel, who is undefeated. And Dennis the Menace says that, well, he's going to bring in a good test for Nick as far as his upcoming fight. And guys, with this, we're going to briefly go through the news, as we have a lot of guests here on today's show.
News of the day.
All right, we start off briefly with former Strikeforce heavyweight Brett Rogers won't be locked inside a cage. Instead, he'll be in the slammer. He was sentenced to 60 days in jail for a domestic assault incident with his wife in June. UFC veteran Michael Facal wasn't sent to the hospital because of a heart attack. Facal said his hospitalization was simply the result of overtraining. UFC on Fox 2 is looking sharp. ESPN has reported now that UFC officials booked Rashad Evans versus Phil Davis for a headlining the show, which will take place in Chicago in January 28th. And folks, we have so much more news coming up here with ratings for Bellator Fighting Championship's final Season 5 event held steady from the previous week as Bellator 59 drew 265,000 viewers to MTV2. The number marks the third highest ratings figure of Bellator's fifth season. And with that said, Guillermo, we also are going to mention here as Fuel TV. They're going to be having a UFC event, and that's going to be UFC on Fuel TV 1, featuring Ellenberger versus Sanchez. And as we get closer and closer, we're just going to be hearing more and more fights added to this card. And, you know, I think as MMA fans, Guillermo, we're getting spoiled with so much MMA.
Well, it's not a bad thing, Roman, but some people do worry about, will we oversaturate the market? Will it get to the point like baseball did that, you know, you have 162 games, so each game individually becomes meaningless, you know, so people do worry about that, and hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully MMA fans are so obsessed with the sport that they'll watch it all the time like you and me, but I love it. I mean, I love the fact that MMA is on all the time, and I think it's going to continue to grow over the next few years. I don't think it's a bad thing.
And Guillermo, as we are very interactive here on the Roman Show, Fred Acosta sent in a topic that we should talk amongst ourselves or any of our listeners. And he said one of the topics he wants to talk about is GSP going to go at it with the Spider Silva? They need to determine who's going up or down in the weight and make this monster fight happen to really determine who's the best fighter in the world. What's your take on that, Guillermo?
Well, I mean, GSP's been really apprehensive about going up to fight Anderson. I mean, for him, he'd have it'd be a big disadvantage in size against Anderson, even if he did bulk up. And he's stated many times that if he goes up to 185 and won't just be to fight Anderson, he'll stay up there because it'll be too much trouble to take the time to bulk up and then have to come all the way back down to 170 and cut the muscle and the weight again. So for him, it's a big career decision because if he makes that decision and he loses to Anderson, that'll put him in a tough spot in his career. And even if he wins, he'll just continue fighting guys that are much bigger than him, and so it'll make it that much harder. At 170, it looked like he was going to clear out of the division, but now it appears that there's quite a few possible contenders in the future. You got Nick Diaz, Carlos Condit, Jake Ellenberger, some fresh faces. John Fitch is long overdue for a rematch. And then who knows who else will come up, you know, from the ranks. Rory Fasano, who's his own teammate, is making huge waves. I don't know how that's going to play out. You know, there's Anthony Rumble Johnson. If he's able to win his middleweight matchup that he's got coming up, will he come back down and be a top contender at welterweight? So I think there's still plenty of stuff for GSP to do at welterweight. And even though fans do want to see that fight, I just don't know if it makes sense for his career.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. However, it would be pretty exciting. I think the best thing, though, would be not to have those two clash, but just possibly moving up Anderson Silva if he were to clean up house by defeating either Munoz or Sonnen, who are going to fight soon. I just think that's the best thing for him, that Silva has already kind of danced with the upper division that he has fought with the light heavyweight. So as far as for GSP, you're definitely right on that point, although it'll be a very interesting fight to see in itself.
Well, I would love to see it, don't get me wrong. But again, I mean, it could, in the end, and being champion in the UFC, remember, you get a percentage of pay-per-view. If you're no longer the champion, I mean, it could definitely affect your pay. Even though if GSP made this move, I'm sure in his contract he'd stipulate that it wouldn't affect his pay. But, you know, it's a very, very tricky move. You know, especially with the sport growing and more money coming into the sport, he could be giving up a lot of money by making this move if it doesn't work out.
That's right. And, Guillermo, I want to let you know here, the coach of the year for the World MMA Awards happens to be Greg Jackson. In the mix there was Rafael Cordeiro, Eric Del Fierro, Cesar Gracie, and the late Sean Tompkins. So Greg Jackson has won the Coach of the Year, and this is now taking place in Las Vegas. As these awards, you know, it's kind of nice to get some of these awards, and it gives a lot of recognition to the sport. As you can see how much has been involved in having their own award ceremony. It just shows you how much this sport has grown. Heck, we should be invited to one of these things, Guillermo, don't you think?
I hope we can use our press credentials to get in at least.
I'm sure.
No, but it'd be exciting to be there, and you know, even you know, to be able to meet more of the fighters. I mean, we've met a lot of them, but you know, it'd be great to be able to like at least socialize with them in a less professional setting.
That's right. Hey, let's take this phone call here as someone's on the line as we get ready to welcome Mike Rio. Carl, you're on the End of Roman Show. Have your name first.
Hello,
Carl, Carl, are you there?
Yeah, hello?
Hello, Carl, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Who's this calling?
Tyrone.
Who's this calling?
Tyrone.
Oh, Tyrone. Hey, Tyrone, welcome to the Roman Show. You have a couple of questions for us or some of the topics we've been discussing today, or are you looking forward to one of our upcoming guests that are coming on the show?
One of your guests is coming on the show.
Yes, sir. Who's that?
Bubba Jenkins.
Bubba Jenkins. Okay, well, stay there, all right? Soon he's going to be on the line, and you'll be able to ask him a question or two, all right? Just stay on the line,
okay.
Tyrone. Thanks, Tyrone. All right, and now we're going to get ready to contact our good friend Mike Rio, which, and by the way, man, Mike Rio, I got to give it to Mike because Mike, just like me, you know, we're very obsessive with social media. The guy was putting out pictures as he went in, supported his good friend Alex Caceres, who fought on the UFC on Fox event. And this guy was taking pictures nonstop, so got to talk to him a little bit about that. And, of course, his tryout with the Ultimate Fighter. He's going to tell us. And Guillermo, I was talking to this guy. This guy's jam-packed with the schedule. So just get ready for this. As far as we are getting a hold of Mike Rio right now. Mike, are you there? Mike, are you there?
Yes, this is Mike.
Hey, Mike, how's it going, man? Welcome again to the Roman Show, man. Everything all right?
Yeah, everything's fantastic. Thank you for having me.
No, my pleasure, Mike. Mike, man, I'm just telling Guillermo right now how you're definitely a media expert on this thing. You're on this thing, and one thing that really caught my attention was when you were out there with Alex Caceres supporting him on his fight over there in UFC on Fox. You were nonstop taking pictures, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, part of my job was to help him out and help him promote and help him coach. So, you know, I just tried my best to, like, help him out and, you know, get him out there as much as possible.
And no doubt you did that. You know, I think I'm going to have you as a contributor soon, man, with all those pictures and information you were getting out there. But
Speaking
about Alex Caceres, who was on The Ultimate Fighter, let's talk about you. Not too long ago, you had a post on Facebook and you mentioned that you had this big news and you had all the suspense on your fans and they were wondering what the heck it was. And then you actually released it to the public. And the news was that you will be getting a tryout on The Ultimate Fighter come, well, in just a half hour, it'll be next month. So we're still in November. But tell us about that. And then you have a fight on December 17th. You definitely have your schedule booked, man.
Yeah, man, success never sleeps, man. I just got to stay busy. I mean, the Ultimate Fighter, that's a huge opportunity for any fighter that's actually going. I mean, I know a bunch of fighters that are actually going, and we're all going to meet up there. I know a bunch of fighters from around the United States who are also going, and I'm going to meet with my old friends, my old college buddies. So it's a great opportunity for all of us. I mean, I think personally I have one of the stronger resumes, like fight background, wrestling background resumes than a lot of guys. So that obviously puts me at a better contention to actually get into the house, hopefully. And, you know, and then the fight with CFA coming up, I just, you know, just I got to keep on doing what I'm doing. CFA are doing great things right now, and I just need to, you know, keep pressing forward. I can't look back. I just got to keep pressing forward and try to, like, make things happen.
So how did it come about with you with this tryout on The Ultimate Fighter? By any chance, did it happen to you while you were out there supporting your friend Alex?
Well, I've always had a thought to do it. I actually had the application like 5 years ago when I was actually starting to fight, but I never really went through with it, and I just, you know, I just decided just to continue fighting. But the going at, the going to the UFC with Alex Caceres was a huge, like, kick in the butt for me, saying that you better start going after what you want and stop, you know, just like sitting around and just hopefully something happens. So, I mean, just at the intensity level, all the fighters in the UFC, meeting all the stars, meeting all the MMA legends and MMA, the stars and badasses and the champs, it's just, it lights the fire under you, you know? I just want to go after it, you know? I'm going to balls to the wall, go after it now.
And Mike, now that you're heading into the Ultimate Fighter, so how are you preparing this? What can you explain to us, just walk us through exactly what's going to happen? Do you know exactly how this is going to take place? Do you pretty much go up against a bunch of guys and test your skills? How does this usually work?
Not 100% sure on the logistics, but it does deal with they get everybody together and have everybody like hit the pads and shadow box and stuff like that, so they can see how you move. Because I mean, there's a lot of guys who can like farce a resume and say they're, oh, I'm a badass this, I'm a badass that, but you know, proof's in the pudding. If the guy can't spar, if the guy can't hit the pads, or he doesn't know how to grapple, you know, they can pick that. They've been looking at fighters for years. They can pick that out left and right. So it's going to make us grapple each other so they can see how we move, if we're an exciting grappler, if we're an exciting fighter, you know, if we know what we're doing hitting the pads. And, you know, and from there it goes into the personality portion, which is, you know, to see if your personality or your charismatic and they want to put you on TV. So.
And I've noticed there on your Facebook and Twitter, you've been asking people to tweet to Dana White to get you into the UFC. Do you have like your own little campaign going?
Of course, man. You got to take every angle you can. You got to use every advantage, every, you know. I just so happen to have a beautiful fan base in Miami. Like, I have I'm one of the biggest, like, fan base fighters in Miami, in Southern Florida. So, you know, I would like to ask my fan base to help me out and, you know, get me into the UFC, because I can't do it without them. I'm fighting for them because, you know, they make it, you know, if you're in the middle of the cage and you hear your name being screamed out, you hear your name being chanted out and the entire stadium loves you, man, there's no other better feeling than that. And I would like to get into the UFC, and I can't do it without my fans, man. I love my fans.
And no doubt your fans always support you, because when, you know, I've been at several CFA shows, and by God, pretty much everyone's wearing a Mike Rio shirt there.
Yes, I love it.
You know, it's like you got your own huge fan base going on. So I applaud you on that, because you've definitely done a good job with that stuff. And
Thank you.
I remember when you fought Efraín Escudero. Boy, that entire arena was all red and yellow.
Yes, I love it.
And it was just nonstop screaming. And that just must be a big thrill for you, man, going in there and getting that home advantage.
Yes, there's no other feeling like it, man. There's no other feeling like having the entire stadium scream your name and chant your name, and they just love you. I mean, I can't even begin to describe the feeling that has. I can't.
And now I want to also give a shout out to one of your individuals there who support you with those T-shirts, and that's Ray Avon. He's always selling and promoting his T-shirts, which are super duper cool. And that's Kwang. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing this thing correctly. Kwak Wang Ying. I think that's how it is. The clothing
line.
Yeah.
He told me how to pronounce it one time. I think it's Kwak Wang Ying, but it's shopkwy.com. I mean, they Ray Avon has been, you know. Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm here.
Ray Avon has been, like, supporting me since, like, day one. So, you know, he's been backing me up. Walter's Coffee Shop's been backing me up. New Breed's backing me up. You know, CFA's been, you know, in my corner the entire time. So, you know, I thank everybody for, you know, helping me out and backing me up and supporting me. And, you know, it just makes it that much better, man. I love it.
All right, so you got this Ultimate Fighter thing coming up in the first few days of December, and then just a few days after, December 17th, you're going to fight your opponent, the last name, Ortonali.
Yes.
Tell me about this opponent, and I mean, gosh, as a fighter, I'm just thinking about this, and you have so many things in your head. How the hell can you prepare for both of these things that are very meaningful to you, man?
I mean, what I was always taught in wrestling was take one match at a time. I'm not, like, if you're in a tournament, you don't want to think about the finals if you're only in the first round. You don't want to think about the finals if you're in the second round, and, you know, so forth, so on and so forth. So I'm still training like I want to train. I'm still training for a fight. The Ultimate Fighter Tough tryouts, I want to show Dana White, I want to show the UFC that I'm there for a reason. I'm not there because, you know, I had a few bucks in my pocket and I was like, you know what, let me try it out. No, I'm there for a real reason, to become an Ultimate Fighter, be in the UFC. So I'm training for the Tough just like I would train for a fight. And just so happens I have a fight a week after that, so I'm just going to straight train for the fight. So I'm just going to be prepared. I'd rather be over-prepared than under-prepared in any aspect of the game. So.
And, Mike, you wrestled in what high school?
I wrestled in Miami Southridge.
Miami Southridge, yes. Yeah, and Southridge had a phenomenal – when I was there, you know, I graduated in 2000. Southridge had a phenomenal wrestling team. You guys were crisp and clean. And you guys had, like, the lightweights were amazing, and you were always in the number one over there in states. And then you had, because all that area is pretty much good wrestling schools, because not too far from there, you got Palmetto, which is also pretty good, and South Dade. Those are all good schools. So being a wrestler, you started this stuff in 2008 when you had your first fight. And sooner or later, now I'm sure you've heard of this guy, Bubba Jenkins is going to be calling in. And I want to ask you, since you have this wrestling background, what made you decide to go into MMA? Did you see other options? What triggered you to go into the sport?
Well, it was actually my friends. After I got done with college, I came back home and, you know, started working in the nightclub industry. You know, the nightclub industry is a fun industry, you know. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, women and money. It's a real fun industry. So I was kind of like, didn't want to do anything athletic. I've been doing wrestling since I was 14 years old, and I kind of wanted to take a break from anything athletic. Until one day, two of my good friends came in, and they've been bugging me for like months to get in the gym, and I finally took them up on their offer, and that's the day I started fighting. I mean, I didn't see myself really, you know, 10 years from now, do I really want to be a bouncer or a manager at a club? Not really, you know. So I had to make a decision in my life to, you know, better my life, go after something. So that's when I decided to make 100% full force fighting, and you know, just so happens it's working out for me.
And to college, you went to college where? What did you study?
Well, I went to three different colleges. I went to Neosho in Kansas, which is a junior college. I went to Harper in Chicago, another junior college, and Lindenwood in St. Louis, Missouri, which is an NAIA, which is like a private school, like a Columbus, if you would say. I was a one-time national champ in Harper, and I was a two-time national champ in Lindenwood. And I studied physical education and health. So, you know, I got my degree and stuff like that. So
wrestling
I got something to fall back on.
Wrestling is in your blood. Guillermo, you have a question for Mike Rio.
You know, Mike, big news with the Ultimate Fighter there. But a lot of people, no doubt you have the physical talents to make it in this sport. But the Ultimate Fighter, I've spoken many times with Charles McCarthy, Alex Karalexis, and they don't talk about the physical, you know, part of the Ultimate Fighter. They talk about being in the house for 6 weeks with a bunch of guys, and it irritates you. And they talk about missing their families because they're there for 6 weeks. And, you know, the next Ultimate Fighter will be 12 weeks. How do you think you can handle that if you were in that situation?
Oh, yeah. I think I'll handle fine because I'm born and bred in Miami. Directly after high school, I went straight up to the Midwest, and I literally had nobody with me. I had no friends, no nobody. I was literally in the Midwest with a bunch of townies, and my entire family has been in Miami. And I was up there for months at a time and didn't even have a chance to come home. Sometimes I didn't have money to come home for Christmas. Sometimes I didn't have money to come home for, like, Thanksgiving or anything, any special time coming off. So, you know, I'm used to being away from my family. I'm used to being away from my family, and I can handle it. I mean, I've been up there, did it for 6 years, and I can handle it. I personally think I can handle it. No big deal.
All right. You have another question, Guillermo?
Well, like I said, he's a great fighter. I have no doubt that, like, if he can make it onto the show, he's going to make a huge impression on the UFC. So I'm really looking forward to seeing if he makes it.
And aside from your great skills, man, you know, you definitely got that charisma. So I think you'll do very well in that show. And I know you'll represent Miami pretty well.
Thank you very much. I'm gonna try to represent Miami to the fullest, man. I wanna put Miami fighting on the map, like legitimately on the MMA map.
And we have a lot coming out of here, man. We have a lot. Hey, Mike, thanks so much, man. So there you go. We wish you good luck on the Ultimate Fighter tryouts and, of course, on your December 17th in Coral Gables for CFA number 4 as Mike Rio will be fighting and looking for his eighth victory. Number eight. And where can people, can they look you up on Facebook, on Twitter, as far as getting some ticket information?
Yeah, just my Facebook. You just got to look me up, Mike Rio. I have two pages and a buttload of other pages. Just, you know, Mike Rio, you'll find me really easy. And if you want to Twitter me, just Mike Rio, MMA, no spaces. Just Mike Rio, MMA, straight on Twitter. So I'm willing. I try my best to answer any questions. I try to reply to everyone. So feel free. If you want to ask me a question about anything, just hit me up.
Awesome, Mike. Hey, thanks so much, Mike. Good luck with that. And we hope to talk to you next time, not only victorious, but on The Ultimate Fighter, man.
Yes, thank you for having me.
All right, thanks, Mike. Good night, dude. Thank you.
Night.
All right, Guillermo, well, from Mike Rio, we're going to go to Bubba Jenkins, who is going to be competing at Tachi Palace. Guillermo, Tachi Palace is a very a well-known promotion. Of course, UFC being the first one and the most known in MMA, but Tachi Palace has a strong history in the whole West Coast. Can you tell us a little bit about the history about it and how important it is as a regional promotion and some of the stars that have come out of this promotion itself, Guillermo?
Yeah, Tachi Palace Fighting Championships, I would have to say, is definitely in the top three regional promotions in the United States, if not the top one. It has the number one flyweight division in the world, I would say. Most of the top flyweights, like Ian McCall, John Dodson's fought there before, Ulysses Gomez, they all fight there. And a lot of former UFC guys and future UFC guys end up fighting there as well. Tachi Palace, for a lot of people don't know, it's a huge casino over in California. So that's basically what it is. So they got a lot of money behind them because it's in a casino complex. So they definitely get a lot of great guys to fight there, a lot of well-known names as well. And they put on great shows. And I believe they're on TV. I think on HDNet, I believe.
No, it's actually, I believe it's going to come out on SureDog.com, and you can see it live.
Well, I think HDNet puts it on every now and then, don't they?
I think after they air it, but live, I think SureDog.
Yeah, but it's a huge promotion, so it's a big deal to be fighting under for Bubba Jenkins. You there, Roman?
All right, we are back, and we apologize for that. Unfortunately, we had some technical difficulties here. Again, we apologize for the technical difficulty, and we are back, thankfully, and we appreciate your patience for everyone who has been on the line and waiting for us. Again, we appreciate your patience for being with us. And on the line, folks, we have Bubba Jenkins on the line. Bubba, are you there?
Absolutely. What's going on, people?
Hey,
what's going
Bubba,
on, world, Twitter fans, people?
Bubba, man, my apologies. I feel embarrassed. Unfortunately, we had a technical difficulties, and thankfully, we're back in the air, though. That's the good thing. Bubba, again, thank you for your patience, and there's a lot of fans out here that have been waiting for you, man.
Yeah, no problem, man. Sometimes you got to roll with the punches, man. It ain't always smooth, you know. Technical difficulties happen. I'm still here, though.
I know, man. Especially in this business, sometimes you could be there and then, whoop. You. I don't know if you got to see the YouTube video. They were live on NBC yesterday with Brian Williams. They're reading a report, and there's a fire alarm in the background, and the guy's talking. So, heck, if they can have a technical difficulty, we could too, man. Bubba,
yeah, my last interview, I was giving an interview and my car alarm went off. So I and it's in a real car, couldn't figure out how to stop it. So I just had to walk away from the car.
Things just happen. Bubba, man, welcome to the show. You have an impressive record and phenomenal record in wrestling out there in Arizona, Penn State. You're a champion in wrestling, and now you're making your move into mixed martial arts. And you have a lot of people, by the way, on the line waiting to ask you questions. And you'll be fighting at Tachi Palace this Friday, December 2nd. First and foremost, what's going through your mind? This is a whole new ballgame for you. This is no longer wrestling. This is mixed martial arts. How are you preparing mentally?
I was thinking the same thing, man. It's not like going from a big match to another big match or from freestyle to folkstyle. I'm going from one sport to a whole other sport. So I'm just sticking to the P's and Q's, man. I want to cover the basics. I want to be exciting. I want to be flashy for the crowd. But right now what's going through my mind is to don't get hit. Cover that chin, keep the chin tucked, and stay in good position most of the time. That's where I started learning. That's what I've been working on. So what's going through my mind is the basics. Absolutely, step one, step two, and to stay and stick with that. Because I don't want to get out there and get beat up in front of TV, or in front of all the people across the world. So I don't want that. So I'm just sticking to the basics.
Now, you just had when was your last wrestling bout?
The national tournament back in March of last year.
Of this year. And here you are going into your mixed martial arts fight. So, mentally, what is your up with the training? Because it's totally different compared to your MMA training, to your wrestling training. You've had a short time to kind of prepare yourself to this fight. So how have you been doing this? Now, you're training over there in American Top Team, Coco de Creek, no?
Oh, yeah. I'm down there. I think it's simply because I guess I'm a fast learner. I take my wrestling mentality and my wrestling ability, and I just, to turn it into an MMA form of combat. And, I've got the best trainers and the best, team in the world, I feel like, down there in Coconut Creek with America Top Team. And, they show me a lot of stuff, and I'm getting locked up and choked out and, tapping out left and right, and I'm learning what I should and what I shouldn't do. So it's really just, learning through a big learning curve and just, adapting to everything that they put in front of me. And, they break it down very smoothly. The moves are, they're not easy, but, I can understand them, and, they're pretty much molding it to my style of wrestling and my style of competing, so it's a good transition. It's a good move for both of us, American Top Team and myself.
When you walk into American Top Team, and first and foremost, how did you manage to get a hold of them? How did they speak to you? How did they bring you in?
Well, I after my national championship, I gave some interviews, telling them the world that I was, I really wanted to be an MMA fighter. I wanted to compete. I wanted to represent Virginia Beach and my family and everything like that. So I still wanted to compete, but I didn't no longer want to be a wrestler. So, you know, they called me. They flew me out for a little recruiting visit. Went to a couple other gyms, and eventually just signed with them. They, you know, they were closer on the east to my home, and, you know, they were good people down there in Coconut Creek. And my manager at the Gorilla Management, Willie Navarro, he's right down there in Miami. So, I wanted to be close to my manager. Therefore, I could, you know, go to my gym and then go talk to my manager if I need to, you know, just stuff like that. It was just a very good meeting between both of us. So I just decided to go with them, and it's been a match made in heaven ever since.
Well, your first bout is going to be Jason Williams, who happens to be another wrestler himself. So
Josh Williams, actually. Jason Williams is his older brother.
Yeah, there you go. He dropped out.
I was supposed to fight Jason Williams. I was
dropped
looking forward
out.
To that as well, but now it's Josh. It's still a Williams brother, but it's just a different one.
And this guy, Williams, is a two-time state runner-up while wrestling at a California Clovis High School, and then he also went on to wrestle collegiately at Iowa State. So this guy is sharp with his wrestling as well. Come as your first opponent here at Itachi Palace, which and Guillermo and I were actually discussing this. I believe it's going to air live on SureDog.com, your fight?
Absolutely, yeah. It's going to be live. It's going to be streaming on SureDog. I'm going to hopefully try to put on a show and try to come out there and end it quick, you know. But, it's, you know, like the show went. Sometimes it don't go always to plan, you know, so you're going to have to roll with the punches. But my plan and my ideal is, you know, to go out there and put a stop to it quickly.
Guillermo, you have a question for Bubba Jenkins on the line.
Yeah, Bubba, as you said, you're a great wrestler and all. Do you have any desires to go to the Olympics or try out for it at all?
I had some aspirations when I was coming up, and wrestling was my only focus, and that was something that I loved. But after I had won the World Championships in Beijing, China, I felt like I was, you know, I've already achieved the podium of being one of the best wrestlers in the world, regardless of what age group it was. So I'm ready just to, you know, get out there in front of the bright lights and do some more fighting. I love wrestling. That's my base, and I'm always going to get back to the wrestling community. But, you know, I'm ready to move on to more athletic things and more where my athleticism and my personality can outshine, you know, because in wrestling it's a little bit less personable, you know. You get booed sometimes. Well, I get booed sometimes when I celebrate and stuff like that. So it's just a different venue. So I'm actually excited to get into this MMA thing and be a lot more of myself.
Bubba, right. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, one more. Yeah, Bubba, of course, with wrestlers, there's a lot of wrestlers that come to MMA, and the top two things that they encounter that may be an issue for them is, of course, submissions, like you talked about, getting submitted. You see guys like Chael Sonnen, Mark Coleman, great wrestlers, but, you know, they're always susceptible to getting submitted. And the other thing is conditioning. Conditioning in MMA is a bit different than in other sports, and it's very easy to wear yourself out if you don't pace yourself. So how are you going about making sure that those things don't go wrong for you?
It's just getting in the rounds, man, fighting a lot of guys in the gym, just sparring left and right and getting a lot of rounds in, you know. I can't, being that I have never been into an MMA fight, I can't tell you how to pace myself yet. You know, that was something that I will learn during the fight on Friday, and during, you know, the fights upcoming, you know. The only thing I can do is practice it, train it, you know, get with those guys in the gym, do 5-minute quarters, 5-minute periods, and just keep going that way. I haven't really switched anything up conditioning wise. I try to stay aggressive and just try to be myself. I go out there and compete as an athlete, and I'm pretty smart on my feet, so I just, you know, go with the punches and try to hit him more than he hits me, really.
Okay. Well, Bubba, we've had a long list here of callers. Let's take a couple of phone calls. We had this gentleman, I think, was on for quite some time. Caller, you're on the Roman Show. May I have your name first? Caller, are you there? All right, we'll move on to the next, Bubba, as we have several fans of yours calling in.
All right. Got a lot of fans, man. Got a lot of fans.
Caller, you're on the air with the Roman Show.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a question for Bubba Jenkins?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead.
With you being a wrestler, how are you adapting to the striking?
I'm adapting well, man. The coaches got me into wrestling, you know, in the wrestling practices, but they try to keep me out of there because, you know, I love wrestling no matter what I'm doing during the week. I'm always wanting to be at the wrestling practices. And they try to keep me out of there, you know, to keep me on my striking game. And that's what I like to be, man. I like to be on my feet and being explosive and being athletic. It's the transition into striking is going well for me because, you know, I've always, you know, back in my neighborhood, I'll be slap boxing with my friends or play fighting or something like that. And up and coming in my life and along with wrestling, I've done a lot of fighting and, you know, being on my feet and throwing my hands is something that I like to do and something that I'm getting better at every other round, every other day. So I'm just picking up the fundamentals to it and the basics to it and adding my wrestling in, and it's going well. The transition is smooth, and I hope to show that I'm more of a all-around fighter than I am a wrestler on Friday. I hope to prove to the world that, you know, it's lay and slay. It's not lay and pray.
All right, we have another caller here on the line on the Roman Show with Bubba Jenkins and Guillermo Garcia and Rodolfo Roman. Caller here on the air on the Roman Show. May I have your name first?
Yeah, my name is Brian.
Hey, Brian, you have a question for Bubba?
Yeah, my question is, what is it about the Virginia Beach, Newport News area that breeds such great athletes?
Thank you. Go ahead, Bubba.
I think it's in the water, man. I think I call Virginia the factory of athletes. You know, we just keep printing them out. You know, me and Percy Harvin, he plays for the Vikings. We're good friends. We won nationals in football back in the day. And there's a couple, I mean, that list goes on and on. Plaxico Burress, Allen Iverson, Michael Vick. I mean, we just breed athletes there, and we just keep it coming. So I just think it's something in the water, and I guess it's our ability to, you know, adapt to a lot of different situations because Virginia Beach is, you know, it's got a lot of different aspects to it. So I think the adaption there and just being able to keep moving and keep them competing is what we're known for, you know, in Virginia Beach. Plus, we're the first state, so we got to represent.
All right, we have another listener on the line here. Caller, you're on the air on the Roman Show, Rodolfo Roman. Bubba Jenkins is Guillermo Garcia. Your name first. Caller, you're on the air. Caller, can you hear us? All right, let's go to the next one. Caller, you're on the air on the Roman Show. You have a question for Bubba Jenkins.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air with Bubba Jenkins on the line.
Hi, my name is John. I just would like to wish you best of luck in the fight and rock on, man. And you're very inspirational to the people out there, man, who want to go where you're at. And thanks a lot, man, and good luck.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate you calling in and showing some love, man. I love the fans. Love, you know, signing autographs and taking pictures, man, and that's what it's all about. You know, I started from the small, and not too many people backed me except my family and my mom and people like that. So, you know, for people to look up to me as they do, you know, it's a big thing for me, and I just appreciate all of it. You know, I'm taking it in one day at a time.
Let's try this one more time with this caller. Caller, you're on the air on the Roman Show. May I have your name first? Caller, you there? Hello? A lot of callers tend to have the volume on their computer really high. I think we have this one caller here probably has another question. Caller, you're on the air with Bubba Jenkins. You have a question for Bubba?
Yes, I have one more question here.
Sure, go right ahead.
Bubba, if you were fighting Cal Sanderson tomorrow night, who would win?
Just say that again.
I said, if you were fighting Cal Sanderson on Friday night, who would win?
If I was fighting Cal Sanderson, who would win? I'm a little madder at the situation than he is. You know, he ended up getting a national championship, and, you know, nothing really happened to him as far as moving and going across the country and dropping everything he loved and knew. So I have a little bit more of a chip on my shoulder. I'm a little bit faster. He is bigger and much better wrestler, but I'm going to go with my ability that I've been training and, you know, striking. I guess I'll just try to stay away from wrestling-wise and throw some elbows and kicks. But I really could tell you, man, that's my opinion is I try to stay away from his wrestling and punch him. But, you know, he's one of the greatest wrestlers in the world, so, you know, that's my joking opinion. But, I mean, I'll be pissed off at the fight. So that would be that. You know, I would just fight on all on anger, not really on skill or anything like that. So I couldn't tell you. I might black out during the fight just being so mad.
All right, let's take one more call here. Caller, you're on the air with Bubba Jenkins. You have a question for him? Caller, you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a question for Bubba?
Yeah. It's Tyrone.
Go ahead.
Well, I asked him earlier about his striking, and now I want to know, is he that comfortable with his striking? when he said he slapped fight with his friends when he was younger, having fun. So is he that comfortable that he'll be throwing elbows?
Absolutely. I think my striking game is has jumped leaps and bounds until I got to ATP. I was strictly a street fighter, you know, wild looping punches and, you know, only elbows and kicks that I've seen from off the TV, you know, monkey see, monkey do for me at that point. And I was just trying to compete and keep up with those guys. And now I'm very comfortable on my feet, very comfortable with throwing elbows and, you know, all kinds of punches. And I'm doing very well with transitioning into from my wrestling into punches, you know, faking shots and going into jabs and stuff like that. So the mix of my wrestling and, you know, my newfound striking game is something that I enjoy, something that I'm in love with, and I think my striking is as comfortable as I can be right now for this fight on Friday. And, you know, as I train more and get more to it, you know, I'll be comfortable doing, like, jumps and kicks and stuff like that, flying knees. But right now, feet on the ground, throwing those hands and elbows, really.
Well, Bubba, we wish you a lot of luck on December 2nd. On your fight on Tachi Palace Fights. And you can see him live on SureDog.com. Any final thoughts you want to say to your fans listening right now on The Roman Show?
Absolutely. Hope you guys tune in to SureDog on Friday. I hope to put on the show. Big shout out to Virginia Beach, Arizona State Sun Devils. Let's get it. Hello, Mom, Teresa, everybody back home. I love everybody. And you know, tune in to the fight. I'm going to be excited.
Awesome. And Bubba, we'll love to have you here once you get that victory around your record here. Right. And you're more than welcome to call in here anytime. We'll talk about that fight, Bubba.
That's right. Sounds good, man. Thanks for having me. I really do appreciate it.
All righty, Bubba. Good luck, all right? And we'll see you live on SureDog.com this Friday.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you so very much. All right, Guillermo. And now we move forward with another guest, as we've been bombarded here. Again, we apologize with that incident you have with the technical difficulties. You got to sing sometimes. Again, we're on the air. You're feeling the vibe. You're feeling the energy. And boom, the whole thing goes down. Did you?
Yeah,
did you?
I told
Bubba about the whole NBC thing. I don't know. Did you get to see that? That my Brian Williams was on the air. He was reading the news, and the fire alarm just started sounding. And here, the guy is live on the air in the studio in New York. The alarm is just blaring. Woo! And he's talking over.
Did he have to run out? Did
no.
he have to leave?
No, no, nothing was going wrong. It's just, you know how sometimes
if there was a real fire,
out.
I would think he would get the heck out of it.
And it was really funny because he said, you know, we're not in any way in any danger, but it does turn out that the fire alarm is going off here in NBC Studios, but we apologize. And he kept going. So...
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all about professionalism. The guy kept a straight face, and he kept going with it. And then they ended up tossing it, I think, to someone in Washington or something like that. But, hey, things happen. We got to move on. By the way, guys, if you have any questions for our next guest, Dennis the Menace Hernandez, go ahead and tweet us at RomanDH. Send a question, and we will ask that question live here on the air. And we'll make sure to give you some credit. Guys, if you happen to miss the show, and I think it was like 5 minutes that we went off the air, head on over to RodolphoRoman.com. That's where you can listen to the archive show. That's RodolphoRoman.com. Also, you want to sponsor us? RomanDH@Yahoo.com. Send us an email, and we'll go ahead and send you all the information you need to know about being here, showcased on this show, The Roman Show, which we have had guests as Bruce Buffer, Bas Rutten, yesterday, or actually that Monday, we had Jesse O'Neill from TNA, and we're going to have a whole list of stars come from the pro wrestling world, as we will have in the MMA world. In fact, Guillermo, did you not know that soon, we don't know when, but soon we will have Rashad Evans on the show. So
that's
just wanted
cool. to pull that one off. That'd be amazing. We both have personally spoken to him individually, like
yes,
ourselves,
sir.
But to actually get him on the air so that the fans can listen to him, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, it's under works. We're also working on getting Frank Trigg on the show. Who Frank Trigg, UFC veteran, now has a like a dating site. Did you know that? How would you figure that UFC fighter having a dating site? But, hey, you got to make a buck somewhere, right?
I guess so.
You can't go wrong with that. All right, guys.
Yeah, he hasn't been winning too much lately, so he's got to make money somehow. Right?
All right. From Bubba Jenkins, we go now to Dennis the Menace Hernandez. Dennis, welcome to the Roman Show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. You're having a great show, let me tell you.
Thanks, Dennis, and our apologies. Like I said, hey, man, you know, we had this whole internet thing and just pissed me off.
Don't worry about it. It happens.
I know, man. Hey, Dennis, first and foremost, you got a fight coming up. It's going to be on HDNet. That's an XFC and, over there in St. Pete, in Tampa, actually. And you'll be facing Nick Newell, who is undefeated right now. He's undefeated.
That's true.
So you're gonna be a test for this guy, come Nick Newell, come this Friday.
Yeah, it's funny, man. That you mentioned that. You know, everybody sees Nick Newell as a one-armed fighter. I see him as a full-blown fighter with a lot of tools. Like you said, he's undefeated. All finishes in the first round. So let me tell you, I ain't sleeping on this guy. I'm coming in guns and blazing because I know he will too. So whoever doesn't know about MMA, think that he's a one-armed fighter. I think he's a great fighter, and I'm going to take his winning streak to on Friday. I'm going to take it away, my friend.
That's right. So Nick Newell does have a disability, and that is he only has one arm. And just for people to know, and there's actually, I believe there's another fighter. It escapes my mind. I know he has some other disability there. You know, it just comes to show you, man, that if you have the determination and the heart, and I know he's your opponent, Dennis, but you got to give credit for this man.
Yeah, I do. That's why I totally respect him. But at the end of the day, it's a fight, and I'm coming to take his head off. He's coming to take mine off. I don't really care what he has, you know. It's my time. You get me?
Absolutely. And Dennis, you know, I remember when I was in wrestling, I actually wrestled a man who was missing, who was handicapped. And let me tell you, these guys, they are just exactly like you said. They're just like any other fighter, only because they don't have, you know, we're not blessed. You know, we are very blessed for have both our arms or both our legs, and unfortunately, they're missing an arm. They come to fight. It doesn't matter what the heck it is. These guys are for real.
Right.
And if you don't come to play, if you don't come with your guns and your weapons, you will get beat. Don't take this guy lightly, never.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that you wrestled before. He's actually a college wrestler as well with one arm. So, like I said, you know, I can't wait. It's going to be a great night. I'm going to bring the W back to Miami, Florida, and it's going to be a great night, you know, regardless of you know, of what he's bringing. So I'm very excited. Like I said, I'm very excited to be at your show, my friend, and you know, let's wrestling against Stryker, I guess. So it's gonna be
right.
Fun.
And Dennis, now you're coming up now. You're searching your victory because you lost last time. You were on actually a 3 winning streak, and they were all by submission.
Yes,
but here you are seeking this victory. Now, how are you preparing yourself mentally coming off this loss and searching for a victory?
You know, man, in this sport, it's a very tough sport. You know, you're gonna get your ups and downs, you know. As long as I follow my game plan, I'll be fine. The truth of the matter is, I'm competitive. You know, I'm pretty cocky. Once I get hit, I want to hit you back. So the game plan goes out the door, and that's pretty much what happened to me last fight, you know. And I just got to keep my head in there, and that's what I got to do for this fight. I just definitely got to keep my head in there and keep the maintain to the game plan, you know.
Well, your last four fights were here in Miami. You had that whole home crowd advantage, but here you're going traveling up to Tampa. Will that in any way affect you, or you just doesn't really matter?
You know, I don't think, man. I mean, I fought like all over the place, really. Like I fought in Thailand, I fought in Greece. North Cyprus. I fought in New Jersey, Pennsylvania. I mean, I'm used to that, you know, being away and fighting. And you know what? I kind of like it because when you fight in your home crowd, in your hometown, it gives you that extra pressure. You know, oh, I got to win in front of my friends. I got to win in front of my peers. No, you know, the truth of the matter is I go away, I do my thing, and I got to bring this win back. And that's where my focus is, and that's what I'm going to do Friday night.
Great, Guillermo, we have a question for Dennis?
Yeah, well, with Nick Newell only having one arm, there's some things that you can exploit because of that. Well, first of all, it's going to be hard for him to block to the fact that he doesn't have the arm. And also, as far as submissions, it make it a lot harder for him to defend the choke. But unfortunately, you only got one arm you can armbar. So how do you strategize for that?
That was funny, man. Yeah, man. I mean, I really don't see many videos on the guy. On none of my guys, actually. I have my my trainers do that. To be honest with you, yes, you know, there are advantages and disadvantages. For what I hear, you know, with a little stub, he does have a great guillotine. He does have a good, you know, chokes. So it plays out, you know. Yes, he cannot block my overhand. That's what he's going to go down with. Yes, he cannot block my, you know, roundhouse kick because he's a southpaw. However, you know, the truth of the matter is, it's a fight, you know. Anything can happen, you know. I don't see it that way. You know, I'm going to come out like if he's just a regular guy. You know, I'm moving up in weight class. So it's going to be interesting. You know, I feel great. I don't have to cut to 145, which I walk around at 175. So it's gonna be great. I mean, I feel great. I feel very strong since I don't have to cut weight. So I'm excited to see how that weight difference is gonna play out.
No doubt about that. Hey, Dennis, man. So this Friday, check out Dennis the Menace Hernandez on HGNet. He's gonna be fighting out there, Nick Newell, who is undefeated. And, Dennis, you're definitely going to be a big test for this guy and see what he's made out of come with his undefeated record. In fact, I was just watching a video, and I said, I understand you don't watch any videos of you. You leave it up to your coaches and whatnot. But this guy got a rear naked choke on his opponent. And this is back in, I think this was posted back in 2010. And he got a rear naked choke on this guy named Steve Butler. So this guy's coming to play. You're coming to play. I think it's going to be a good fight. Dennis, we wish you a lot of luck, man. Represent Miami. And we'll see you on HGNet.
Hey, thank you very much, my friend. Anytime you like to have me, it was my pleasure. I want to thank my teammates, my trainers, Fight Me Clothing, my manager, Willie, Gorilla Group. Check them out, man. And first and foremost, you guys. You know, without you guys are running a great show, man.
Thank you, Dennis. Really appreciate that. Good luck, and we'll see you on TV, my man. Good luck.
All right, pal. Take care. Good night, guys.
Thank you. Good night. Well, great interview there as far as Dennis the Menace. And as we have a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the air on the Roman Show. You have a question? Caller, are you there?
Hi, how are you? This is Mother Jenkins' stepfather. Excited. He's bringing the business over there to the Taishi Palace, and I'm just super, super excited. I've posted a request for Inside MMA to show highlights, so let's see if Boss Wooten do me a big fan a favor and show Bubba do his thing. Just super proud of him.
Thank you so very much, sir, and let's see if Boss hears you out. Thank you for listening to the show, sir.
Absolutely, and good luck, Bubba. Bring the business, and just look forward to seeing you online.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so very much. Well, Guillermo, a long list of guests here tonight on the Roman Show, minus that whole incident we had. But as you can tell, today we had a striker and we had two wrestlers. And all these guys are in mixed martial arts, just polishing up their skills and really living up to that name of mixed martial artists. Your thoughts on today's show, Guillermo?
Yeah, absolutely. Great show. Like you said, Dennis the Menace, he better not take this guy, Nick Newell, lightly. You know, these guys with disabilities, you know, the ones who don't get defeated by the condition and prevail, they are usually really, really mentally strong. And where they lack, you know, physical ability because of the disabilities, they more than make up for it in other aspects. You know, that other arm of Nick Newell's has got to be a lot stronger. The rest of his body's got to be stronger because of that disability. And mentally, you know, he's not going to break because he's overcome it already. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm really looking forward to seeing how he does against Dennis and rooting for both guys because
you know, Desmond as being a local guy, you got to root for him. But you also always got to root for somebody who overcomes disabilities, because that's very rare to see somebody reach the elite levels of anything, you know, in that situation and prevail.
And you know what, Guillermo, you definitely put it, you hit it right on the nail. And to be, I mean, because, heck, you know, you could be disabled, not have an arm. You could probably play, you know, you could probably even play basketball, or, heck, you could play football. You know, you could do all these other sports. But when it comes to fighting, you really need everything. But to have a man like this step into a cage and show the world that you can fight despite your disabilities, that's just amazing. You know, that's really amazing.
Very impressive. I mean, it's impressive in other sports, but in this sport, I mean, it takes even more courage, because you can get really hurt in this sport. So you got to have that extra courage to go out there and ignore what people are telling you can't do, and go out there and do what you believe you can. You know, so very inspirational. Good luck to both men, and be looking forward to seeing that fight maybe on YouTube one day. Or I don't think I'll be able to make it down to Tampa, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, unless you got HDNet. And by the way, I want to read these results as they're coming in Las Vegas with the 2011 World MMA Award Ceremony. And right now, where we left off was the Media Source of the Year. Now, Best Technical Clothing goes to Bad Boy. MMA Personality of the Year. Now, take a guess here, Guillermo. We got Bruce Buffer, Jacob Stitch Duran, Joe Rogan, Bash Rutten, or Burt Watson.
Those are a lot of big names there. You know what? I'll go with Bosh. What do you think? What is it? I might go with Bosh.
Joe Rogan won it.
He's the most visible face out of those. But, you know, all those guys are really big mainstays in MMA, and they have huge personalities. And they all have contributed to the growth of the sport. So, you know, all of them are winners, you know, in my opinion.
All right. Female Fighter of the Year goes to Miesha Tate. Ring Entrance of the Year goes to Jason Mayhem Miller, who's actually going to be in action this Saturday.
I'm surprised, because Tom Waller's always had a bunch of great entrances, you know.
Breakthrough. Well, I got to love the one with Jason Miller when he came out with the girls and spinning around with the
yeah, but you should see the one with Tom Waller where he dresses up like Hulk Hogan and walks out to the I'm a Real American song. That's fantastic. And he walked out to the Who Let the Dogs Out with Seth Petruzzelli.
Yeah.
That was another good one.
All right, Breakthrough Fighter of the Year goes to Donald Cerrone. Submission of the Year goes to Chan Sung Jung versus Leonard Garcia, Fight Night 24. Ringer of the Year goes to Ariana Celeste. And Leading Man of the Year, who's your choice? Scott Coker, Lorenzo Fertitta, Mark Ratner, Bjorn Revney, or Dana White?
Yeah, it's probably Dana White that won it.
Yeah, of course you got it. All right, Well, we spoke about the Ultimate Fighter, and then next Saturday. Guillermo, I know you're ready for it.
I expect it to be a good competitive fight, and I expect Miller to come out on top. I believe is that a 3 or 5 round fight, Roman? Do you know?
Should be 5. It is a main event, and I know they changed.
I mean, I'm not sure, but it should be 5. But you know, sometimes you hear about some future like fight nights possibly being 3. But yeah. I thought the rule was 5 for all main events. So who knows? But I'm pretty sure this one was 5 rounds, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it should be.
So,
but
really looking forward to it. I don't think it'll go 5 rounds, to be honest with you, but it should be very exciting. I give a slight edge to Miller, like I said.
But December 10th, you know, a week from this Saturday is the day you've been waiting for, my friend.
The big one. Machida is going to be the champ again, man. It's going to be great.
All right, John Jones versus Lyoto Machida for the belt. Who's going to win? You're going with Machida. I'm going with my boy Jones. But we're going to see that.
If there's like a Fighter of the Year category tonight in the MMA Awards, I would expect John Jones to win that. You know, but I'm sure he's up for nomination in that. But, a lot of people are going to – I bet you when they come out with the fan polls and opinion and all that, 70% or something like that's going to say John Jones is going to win. But we'll see. I believe in Machida. I believe he's got the style. They could really give John Jones a lot of problems, and I think he's going to come out on top. I think he's going to shock the world.
Well, we're going to see about that. Let's see if we got one more of these awards coming in, as they're coming in by the minute. Dana White. All right. Okay. So knockout of the year goes to Anderson Silva versus Vitor Belfort at UFC 126. And the fight of the year. All right, here we go. Here are the nominees. Jose Aldo versus Mark Hominick.
Fight of the year.
All right, nominees. Okay. Jose Aldo versus Mark Hominick at UFC 129. Dominic Cruz versus Uriah Faber at UFC 132. Frank Yeager versus Gray Maynard at UFC 125. Nick Diaz versus Paul Daly at Strikeforce. Diaz versus Daly. And Diego Sanchez versus Martin Kapman at UFC Live 3. Which one do you think won?
Edgar Maynard.
You sure did. That's the one that won. Frank Yeager versus Gray Maynard at UFC 125.
If you think about it, that was the best fight because they didn't take into account the Dan Henderson Chauvin fight because it was too late. But
yeah,
I mean,
Dan Henderson Chauvin
should win next year unless something miraculous happens between now.
Well,
and then.
Don't keep
the Michael Chandler
yet.
Eddie Alvarez. Yeah. I agree with you. Those two fights are gonna be up for it next year for sure. Unless there's like a barrage of great fights next year, but you don't see fights like that too often, so I'm sure they'll be in there for nomination.
Yeah, it's a rarity, and we were lucky enough to be there, experience that fight live of Eddie Alvarez versus Michael Chandler, and darn, I still want to see another fight like that, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, that fight was amazing, and but like I said, the Henderson Shogun fight was amazing for different reasons. They both played out in very different ways, but you know, there's no formula for a great fight. They're all very different, and they're all special in their own way. And, you know, you just got to appreciate the sport because it creates moments like that. And you don't really get that in too many other sports, you know. So, I mean, like, it's a privilege to watch some of these fights.
No doubt about that. Well, Guillermo, hey, guys, we'll be back here Monday at 11 p.m. for the Roman Show Pro Wrestling Edition. And next Wednesday at 11 p.m. with the MMA edition. And we're going to have a gentleman from Puerto Rico as they will be filming a kind of like the Ultimate Fighter, but in Puerto Rico for their company, their promotion. And he'll call in and explain every single thing that we need to know about that program. So, para todos mis latinos en Puerto Rico, escuchen porque se dan cuenta de un programa de televisor que van a dar de las artes marciales mixtas en Puerto Rico. So, we're going to be talking to my Puerto Ricans over there. And heck, if you live in New York, my Puerto Ricans over there, listen in, tune in, find out what's going on the island as far as the mixed martial arts. And again, guys, follow us on Twitter at RomanDH. Visit the website, RodolphoRoman.com, in case you missed the Bubba Jenkins interview or Dennis the Menace Hernandez or Mike Rio. Head on over to RodolphoRoman.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/RodolphoRoman. In the meantime, Guillermo, always a pleasure. And by the way, do you know we're going to have a little commercial going up soon?
Well, we are. Where?
I'll let you know on the details, man. But come 2012, we're going to have a little nice commercial out there featuring you, my co-host Cage, and myself. So get ready for it, man, because 2012, we're going hard. In the meantime, guys, yeah, for wherever the hell you're listening, whether it be in the West Coast, Hawaii, Vietnam, Thailand, where we are, have a good night from Miami, Florida, and we will see you guys next week, Monday at 11 p.m. on The Roman Show. Good night, guys, and enjoy the Ultimate Fighter finale. ¶¶